supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listener of IRIB English Radio, today's special, salam and welcome to this program. Today we're going to speak about Allah in our daily life.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا يا الله يا منان حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا
Grateful today for difference and change for all colors and shades Cause you made it this way وهبتنا النبراس بحب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا
Today, Friday, is the 15th of Jamadi Uthani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Imran, verse 173.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
Those to whom hypocrites said, "Indeed, the people have gathered against you, so fear them." But it merely increased them in faith, and they said, "Sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs."
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The enemy, propagating agents, and some simple-minded and covert people advisingly inspire that the group of enemy is strong and none can combat them, so it is better not to entangle yourselves with fight. The true believers, without any fear, and as they are qualified in the verse, calmly answer them. So the strongest barrier against all the threats of the enemy is faith and trusting in Allah. When a believer happens to be inflicted with disasters, he increases his reliance with Allah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
The signs of God in our daily life, one of them is knowing Allah, endeavoring, and hope. Whenever a difficult and complicated event takes place in the life of a human being, whenever all doors are somehow closed, one senses weakness, hopelessness, and loneliness. When confronted by these difficulties, a person with faith in Allah then seeks His help, which He gives. A person who has faith in Allah does not see himself or herself as being alone or powerless. He or she does not despair. He or she does not sense weakness or inability because Allah is above all difficulties and everything is easy for him. With hope in His kindness, support, and help, he or she will struggle against the difficulty and will use all of his or her energies. With love and hope, one will continue his or her endeavors and efforts and will overcome the difficulty. Faith in Allah is the great place of refuge for a human being, dear friend. Faith in Allah is the substance of perseverance and steadfastness. Faith in Allah always keeps hope in hearts alive.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role of feeling the presence of God in our daily life. Those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consider being fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would be among those people in whom Satan can hardly do anything in order to mislead them. They are not those people to be misled by Satan and satanic temptations. Another effect is achieving a sense of tranquility in our life. Those people who are always aware of the active presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, they reach a sense of tranquility. And at the same time, we find that those people who have reached this sense of believing in the active presence of God in their lives, they really become always under the direct supervision and receiving the direct grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you for listening to this episode.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I, when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst to stay. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies, cause I don't need anyone.
Relying on Allah in our daily lives, from IRIB English Radio. And today's special concerns the reflection on this universe. Reflection is such a light in the heart that good and evil, harm and benefit, and beauty and ugliness can be discerned and distinguished from each other through it. Again, it is through reflection that the universe becomes a book to study, and the verses of the Holy Quran disclose their meaning and secrets more deeply. The qualifier of our thought is a very serious and important subject for any Muslim to consider. The more we reflect on the grand design of the universe, the more we are reminded of the designer.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end.
Easy ways to remember Allah. One of these ways is picking a few du'as or dhikr to focus on. Maybe you're not in the habit of making dhikr or du'as, but right now is the best time to start. Maximize your downtime, whether you're waiting to catch a flight, washing dishes, stuck in the jam while driving to work, or have 5 minutes to spare before your day goes into full swing to recite some dhikr, like morning and evening remembrances or any other du'as. Download an app that has authentic supplications from the Holy Quran and Mafatihul Jinan to get you started. Has an ayah from the Holy Quran or just one line of Mafatihul Jinan, the book of supplication, to one of the great sources of supplication to get you started. Start small and just pick a few that speak close to your heart to truly appreciate the meaning of what you're saying, and slowly build up from there.
God brought us in this life to see if we worship Him or not. But the primary reason was what? To have mercy on us. How is it that we find that full mercy? Through ibadah, through worship. Let me give you an example. Some people will tell you, couldn't God just take us directly to paradise? Could He or could He not? Why bring us here in the first place? Why? Why all this chaos and all this hassle of coming into this life? Just take us directly to paradise and get it over with. Imagine you have a surgeon, and I see this poor young man in the streets who's homeless, who doesn't have anything. And I want to be very merciful. I come and I tell him, look, I found you a job that will give you good income. You tell this young man who's homeless, who's not educated, who doesn't know anything, I found you a job. I want you to be the leading or the director of all surgeons at this hospital. Yalla, come and we'll give you a very, very good salary. Is this a wise thing to do or no? Why? Rahma, I want to give him a good position and good money. Why is this not wise? He's not qualified. Ahsan. He has to achieve it. Because if you put him there in that hospital, he's going to kill everyone there. Why? Because he is not a surgeon. He doesn't know how to operate a surgery. He's not qualified. Paradise is this special, pure place where you need to be qualified to go there. Because all of us in our hearts, in our soul, we have some impurity. And it would not be fair for God to take you to paradise because then you'll contaminate paradise. How do you purify the self? Through worship. Through this test.
That was all for today's special. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of our program. Till another episode of today's special. May Allah keep you safe.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on the means of intercession with him by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Almighty's last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I will intercede for the sinners from among the Ummah of my father when I am raised on the day of judgment.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As in one of our previous discussions, we discussed the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarding a person based on the ability and on the capacity he uses his intellect. In this tradition as well, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, quoting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we see a very similar type of, you know, outcome, or a very similar type of lesson that we can learn, and basically a message that when we look at somebody and we look at the apparent, you know, beauty, if you would like to call it, or the apparent, you know, wonder of his worship, it does not give us the ability to actually say that this person will be given such a high reward, no. And this is seen from this tradition of the Holy Prophet, or rather a tradition that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoting from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Imam says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that if news reaches you of a man's favorable disposition, that a person, you know, has good ethics, a person, for example, you know, walks in a nice way, he treats people in a certain way, in deeds and character, then examine the level of his intellect, for he shall only be rewarded according to his intellect. So here we can see that the Imam, while quoting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is showing that the criteria for reward, or the criteria for punishment on the flip side, is the intellect, and not just merely the apparent goodness or the apparent virtue of that particular person. Therefore, the standard for the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the intellect. That is the criteria. That is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look and examine, as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes as well. And similarly, we see in this tradition that if a person, even on the apparent side of things, in his apparent disposition, in the way he acts, you know, in front of people, for example, in the public eye, it does not indicate that he has a strong intellect. You know, just because a person appears religious does not actually mean he is religious. And lastly, what we can understand from this tradition is that when we try to evaluate people, even though evaluating people is something completely outside of our scope, it's only something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can truly do. But if we do, you know, as far as we possibly can into our own limited capacities, we should base it on real and not superficial traits. What is, you know, the intellect or the, you know, the measure of this person's intellect. And this can be seen in other ways, for example, in his beliefs, in his aqaid, the way he thinks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he examines the world and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly perfect our intellects and to use it in worshipping him and gaining their paradise. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Om.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters across the globe, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, the program that examines the verses of the Quran one by one through the chapters. We are on chapter 19, chapter Mary of the Quran, and to help us with our questions, we have Brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib. Thank you very much for being with us in the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Not only am I in the studio, I'm inside the studio box as well.
And all right, let's listen to verses 12 and 13 from chapter 19, and we'll be back for our questions. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeeb. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ya Yahya, khudh al-kitaba bi quwwatin wa atainahu al-hukma sabiyya.
Allah said, O John, take the scripture with determination. And we gave him judgment while yet a boy. And affection from us and purity, and he was fearing of Allah.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 12 and 13 from chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. So verse 12 reads, O John, hold on with power to the book, and we gave him judgment while still a child. So let's begin first by asking, what book is being talked about here?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It's very vital and instrumental to understand the prophets and the difference between prophets and messengers and ulul azm. Is there a difference between a prophet and a messenger and ulul azm? It's a very deep topic. It takes a lot of time, actually. What I want to state here in summary, actually, is that we have ulul azm. or those with power, you could say, with or high status. And in summary, why are they ulul azim? The reason they are ulul azim, other than accepting the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and the guardianship of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the successorship of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib in Alam al-Dhar, which is, you know, a life before this life. Before, yeah, we will talk about it actually. This is it is available in the Holy Verses. We'll talk more about it. And other than that, there's also a saying that states that they were sent with a religion. They were sent with a religion, with laws, with a book, with a divine book, right? And, or, you know, with something like law, I think is the best word, like a sharia. And, of course, this does not mean, because there's also the idea, was Jesus, or were the Ulul Azm sent to all the world, or for precise nations, for precise people? And I personally believe that they were sent for precise people. They were not sent to all the nations, except for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent to everyone.
So the Ulul Azm comes with his own law.
Comes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Allah. For example, you have Adam,
who comes with his own
law. Who came with Allah? The laws that the prophets, when they were sent, they were sent to, you know, with that law. They were following that law. The same thing with Jesus. The same thing with Moses. The same thing with Noah. Right?
Not Abraham?
Abraham as well.
And so, so that means that we have messengers that do not come with their own law.
Yeah.
And so basically they are followers, standing for the previous
Ulul Azm. The same thing with Lut and Ismail. For example, Lut was, you know, a prophet, but he didn't have a divine book. He didn't have a message. He was following a message, the message of...
But he did have a connection to God subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking messages from him. Now, we're going to take a break now, and then after that, we're going to see how that's related to John and his book. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're on chapter 19. On verse 12, God tells John to hold on with power to the book. So just before the break, you said that there are so messengers and prophets of God come in various ranks, the highest being Ulul Azm, who comes with his own law, and the rest of the messengers basically follow the Ulul Azm before them. How is that related to John here and the book which he's holding on to?
See, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering him to take the book. And what the interpreters state and the different sayings available about this verse, they state that John or Yahya did not receive a book, it was not revealed to him a book, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him to take the book, which is the same book that Moses came with. Because he was the prophet to Bani Israel. He was a prophet to Bani Israel. Thus, take it with quwwah, or take it with power. What book do I take with power? I take the book that came and was revealed, the laws, the divine laws that were revealed to Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Yahya to come and execute, to perform, to order, to forbid what was available in the book, the divine book of Moses that was revealed to Bani Israel.
So John was coming to execute the laws of Moses. What does it mean to hold on to the book powerfully, with quwwah?
This really just shows you that if you want to be a leader, you cannot be weak. If you're a prophet, you have to be you have to have courage. You have to have, you have to put in a lot of time and work for the message that you're being sent with, especially with this huge message, the most important message available, actually, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that really, just separates us from hell and heaven, actually, and it is the connection between us and our Creator. So here, if you, for example, would it be wise to send a divine book and a message to someone who doesn't care? or to someone, for example, who cares but is unable to conduct it or to order it and to execute it, wouldn't be wisdom would order for someone to send someone who was able and capable of spreading the message and was not fearful of this and that, لا تأخذه في الله لوم تلائم, and to put all their time and all their power and effort into spreading the message, into defending the message, into ordering it, into prohibiting people from, you know, disrespecting it, and, you know, and what comes from prophecy and prophethood.
And while we're at it, we have approximately a minute left. Why does God talk ambiguously, saying to the book? He could have always said to Moses' book, hold on with power to Moses' book.
Here, this is a law. Arabs don't like to use little words. They don't like to use a lot of words. They don't like to talk a lot, even though we do talk a lot. We don't like to talk, to send the meaning available in our minds with a lot of words. We like to always keep it short. Right?
So it's very...
It's clear, because why? Who was the prophet? What message was being followed during the time of Zakaria and Yahya? To what nation were they in? They were between Bani Israel. But being between Bani Israel, the people of Israel, their message, Moses was sent to them. Thus, their message was, you know, that religion.
So it's Arabs tend to talk with implications because it's clear to them.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Let's take a break and we'll be back.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
Okay, you're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 19 and verse 12, which reads, O John, hold on with power to the book, and we gave him judgment while still a child. We have approximately 2 to 3 minutes of the program left. I wonder if you can answer this question. It says that John was given wisdom in his childhood, which I guess it means that to be a prophet, the wisdom reader to be a prophet. So is prophethood something that you could work your way up to? Or is prophethood something that's assigned to a person before he's even born? Because normal children couldn't reach the capacity to have a judgment that God speaks of here when they're only children.
We will talk more about this and the attributes of John on the coming episode. But for now, the question that you asked, how does someone become a prophet? Can I become a prophet? At the end of the day, being a prophet and being chosen actually to be a prophet is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yastafi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want the precise translation of yastafi. It's like to choose, right?
But
it's like to point out. Yeah, to point. Like there are a lot of options, but I
select,
pick this one.
Select.
To select. The best word I think would be select. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects from His creations who He wants to be prophets. And of course, it is available in His knowledge, right? Before creation. Then, during creation, there are some people who worship Allah, they keep on worshiping Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects them. And there are many different stories about how the prophets were selected. For example, the story of Moses. Why was he selected? And the reason behind it was because the way that he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how pious he was and how humble he was, to a point where Moses asks, why did you talk to me and with the fire, of course, and you didn't send me, for example, an angel like you did, you usually do with other prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered to him because of the way you used to do prostration to me. You used to keep your cheeks on the soil when worshipping me. And that's pretty much coming from the humbleness. And it really comes from the awe to God that Moses used to have, possess. That really deserves a prophethood. That's the understanding of Moses. And so therefore he chose him. Or for example, another story would be, for example, the story of Luqman al-Hakim, which there is actually a chapter about him in the Holy Quran, and that he was told to pick between prophethood or becoming or wisdom, and he chose wisdom, for example. So the selection is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he selects and what not, it's in his hands. You have a problem with the selections, Hussein? Inshallah, on the day of judgment, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for now.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Habib. That's all the time that we have, unfortunately. If you missed the program, you can always download an archive of this episode and previous episodes from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about this accusation that we have, that when it comes to the matter of Ali and Fatima, we are accused of exaggerating their status. And on the other hand, we see there are people in the Muslim world who would go to the extent of degrading their status. And they basically project that to be the original Islamic thinking, especially when they call themselves Salafis. When you look at the name of Ali, it's interesting that if you survey the early sources of Ahl Sunnah, you will see that it was a common, you know, practice among the writers of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah during the early days, that whenever they would mention the name of a companion, they would always end with the words radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him or her, depending on the gender there. But whenever it came to the name of Ali, you will see that they actually would be very careful there. And they will end, after mentioning his name, with the words, Karramallahu wajhu. Karramallahu wajhu means, may Allah, you know, elevate or give more grace and honor to the face of Ali. And this actually reflected that special status among the companions, that Ali's forehead never bowed down in front of an idol. And that is a distinction which is maintained when you say Ali karramallahu wajhu in the Sunni writings. Of course, we use the word alayhi alayhi salam for him and for all the Ahlul Bayt. But if you look at the, so this was the trend during the early days, even among the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But lately, if you look at the websites of the Salafi scholars, especially the Muftis among them, especially the websites which have question answers. You know, people sometimes, you know, raise these questions. Is it right to say Karamallahu wajhu after the name of Ali? Or even to use the words alayhi salam after the name of Ali? And you will see, unanimously, according to the present Salafi Wahhabi Muftis, they would say that, no, you shouldn't do this. They would discourage that, because they will say, you know, then you are elevating him against others, whereas the duty of a Muslim is to give equal treatment to all the companions of the Prophet. And, you know, in response to that, you just need to recite one ayat of Quran from Surah Sajda, Surah number 32, Ayat 18, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. Can a person who is mu'min, righteous, can that Muslim be equal to another Muslim who is fasiq, openly committing sins? لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They are not equal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, you know, partiality there. Those who are, you know, mu'min and muttaqi, as opposed to those who are fasiq, among them, companions. And this is actually a verse which was revealed specifically in case of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and if I'm not mistaken here, Walid bin Mughir. And this is where, you know, we see that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between the Mu'mineen. Let me just very briefly, you know, give you a summary of once when I was looking at the Sunni historians, all the way from the early days in the second, third century, Tabari, Ibn Sa'ad, Maqdisi, Ibn Qutaybah, Ibn Athir, Bayhaqi, Ibn Khaldun, Baladhuri, all the way to Al-Dhahabi. And these are the scholars of the early days till the 10th century of the the Hijra calendar. And all of them, you will see they use the words Karramallahu wajhu after the name of Ali. So this has been the trend among the historians. When it comes to the muhaddiseen, those who are scholars of hadith, you have Musnad of Abdullah bin Mubarak, died in 181 year of the Hijra. Musnad of Ahmad bin Hanbal, the founder of the Hanbali school. Sahih Bukhari itself, Sunan Abu Dawood, Sunan Nisa'i, Sunan Dar Qutni, these are all very prominent sources of the Ahadith among Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And these are the first three centuries I'm talking about. And they actually use the term Alayhi Salam whenever they mention the name of Ali bin Abi Talib. There are three obvious standards of preference given to one person over the other in Quran. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hujarat, He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa unsa, that people, we have created you from one man and woman, referring to Adam and Hawa. Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila. Then we divided you physically into different tribes and, you know, nations, lita'arafu, so it becomes easier to know one another. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. As if He says, don't look at your tribal background, your racial background, your color or language as a level or a standard of preference. Inna akramakum. The most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among you is somebody who is atqakum, who is the most muttaqi and righteous. So that's one criteria we see. Number two, in Surah 39, ayat number 9, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qul. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He says, he's putting a question. That do you think that those who have knowledge are same, on the same level as those who don't have knowledge? He doesn't give the answer, because the answer is obvious there. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Those who have minds, you know, they reflect on these issues. Surah Nisa, ayat number 95. So it's the second criteria of preference after taqwa is ilm, knowledge. Third one, in Surah Nisa, ayat number 95, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Those who struggle in the jihad, you know, they are given higher ajr and rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were those who did not do that. It's not a sin for them, for whatever reason they didn't come. But this is where we see taqwa, ilm, and jihad are the three standards by which we can say one person is preferred over other. And on all these three standards, if you look at taqwa, interestingly, the most famous title of Ali among the Sunnis now is Imam al-Muttaqin. He's known as the Imam of the righteous and the Muttaqi people. When it comes to knowledge, nobody has ever dared, you know, to come ahead of Ali. After all, he was the gate to the city of knowledge. And when it comes to jihad, any campaign that Rasulullah sent Ali, he always came back successful. And that is something where we see that on all these three criteria from the Quran, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given these standards. And so if we prefer him over other companions, we are not really going against the Quran or the standards of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us among the true followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I tell my friends that I think I am a better Christian now that I am a Muslim.
And everywhere my eyes fell, it was as if this Quran was directly talking to me.
Now you're becoming a Muslim. Yes. How did this affect your mom?
In my city, there is only one mosque, it's Shia.
And those who were guided to the right path in moments of realization.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum. Hello and welcome to our program, Moments of Realization. It's a program where we get to meet and have a chat with those people who have come to a position in their lives where they have taken a new direction, a new path, usually a path less traveled by. We have one such guest with us today, Mr. Saeed Abdullah from Nigeria. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum as-salam. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Welcome again. Welcome again to our program. You shared your conversion story with us last time.
Yes.
And inshallah, I hope we can continue our chat today. And I would like to know your opinion. What can Sunnis learn from Shias? And also the other side, what can Shias learn from Sunnis?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين I'm so much grateful for giving me this opportunity once again. I can say the Shiite or the Sunni first can learn from the Shiism or from the Shia the what? The Ikha.
The what?
Ikha. Let me use that means brotherhood.
Okay.
If I'm correct. Ikha means what to share. Like, we are all what? We are all Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So, let us what? Shia, they are not what? They are not accusing Sunni and this thing. They are not.
Okay.
They are what? They are just standing on their facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, since our prophet is one, and our God is one, firstly, our prophet is one, why can't we share our distinct deep together? We should not what? We should not allow the what the enemies, the outside mm-hmm. enemy, to use that what that chance to what to separate us.
Okay.
Like what the Imam is saying in one of his distinct, if I can remember, in the meaning, he's saying what we should stop having dispute mm-hmm. between Shiite and Sunni, because those who will benefit in this thing are what? Are those people who are not neither Shia